Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Clare FM, the IBI, and funded by Cumashna Man with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Now, over the past few months, we've been broadcasting fortnightly episodes of Ours to Protect, and in Series 2, we've been taking a closer look at biodiversity, sustainability and the broader issues of climate change and climate action as they relate to Clare. And we've heard about topics such as the importance of biodiversity and bog rewetting, solar energy, circular communities, electric vehicles and carbon monitoring in agriculture. As part of this project, we've also had an audio moth recording device placed in different locations to record birdsong. It's a unique collaboration with the Metalab Harvard Climate Institute for Climate and Sound, who will get all the audio from the recording devices for their continuing research. And this morning we're going to hear some of that audio and see what the audio moth recorders detected. And I'm joined this morning by Jamie Durrant, who's a conservation ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Good morning to you, Jamie.
Morning, Alan. How are you?
Very well. Thanks very much for coming in. So tell us a little bit about your own background and being a conservation ranger with the NPWS.
Yeah, I'm obviously English. I've been over in Ireland 19 years now, and it was birds that fetched me over to Ireland. I came over for a three-month contract working with little terns, living in a caravan on the beach, looking after the nesting birds there. That was, three-month contract 19 years ago, and I'm still here now. I worked for Birdwatch Ireland for many years, and then for the last 5 years, I've been working with National Parks and Wildlife Service as the conservation ranger for South East Clare.
Lovely. Living in a caravan on the beach sounds quite relaxing.
Well, yes and no. I mean,
unless the weather gets a bit windy.
But I mean, no, it was a dream come true. I mean, all I've ever really wanted out of life was to be able to watch birds and get paid for it. So it was a dream to be right there on the beach and to watch the birds every day, and also to tell people coming along the beach about the birds. I actually met, it was my first summer in Ireland. I'd been here about 3 weeks. A nice old gentleman came walking along the beach, asked me about the little terns. I gave him the little tern 101 intro speech, you know, where they came from, where they went. And then as he walked away, my Irish colleague said, Jamie, do you know who that was? I was like, no, that was Eamon de Botlier, mate. And I was like, who? He said, that's our David Attenborough. So now I've been in 18 years, I realise how lucky I was to meet him. And I'll tell you, what a gentleman. He could have stopped me at any point and said, listen, son, I've forgotten more about these birds than you'll ever know. But no, he just listened, he nodded, he thanked me for his knowledge, thanked me for my knowledge, and off he went. So that was some introduction to Ireland.
I suppose he just clearly enjoyed chatting to somebody else who was as passionate about this kind of thing as he was.
Yeah, I met him a few times after that, and he always had something interesting to tell you he'd seen along the beach, or something that I'd never seen, and he'd just seen casually whilst walking his dog. Yeah, he was a gent.
Just before we play some of the clips, Jamie, give us your perspective on the collaboration with the Metalab Harvard Climate Institute for Climate and Sound and these audio moth recordings.
I think it's fantastic. I often say that the great thing about bird watching is it's one of the few fields of science left where amateurs can get directly involved. So in this case, you've set up these sound recordings and you're sending them back in. If you're a sort of member of the public and you're concerned about the environment, you obviously are aware of things like climate change, and it can feel really dispiriting and really like, well, what can I do? Birding is something that everyone can get involved in. So if you go to Birdwatch Ireland's website, there's lots of surveys ranging from the bird feeder survey, you know, back garden bird survey in the winter, common the CBS, the countryside bird survey in the summer. If you take part in these surveys and feed that data in, that data is then tracking and monitoring the effects of climate change, and then those surveys will go on to affect decision makers at the top. So it's one of the things where if you get involved in any of these kind of projects, and I say just Google them, you can find all kinds of projects to get involved with. I find it's like a really good way of staving off the kind of feeling of hopelessness, you know.
Okay, so look, we're going to play some of these recordings, and maybe you can just talk to us a little bit about them. So this first one, well, they're all from July of this year, and this one contains the European robin, the common wood pigeon, and Eurasian blackcap.
Hear the wood pigeon there, he's saying, the poor wood pigeon, do 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 do. And once you get that in your head, you'll never mistake wood pigeon. They have very repetitive songs. Yeah. The poor wood pigeon.
I didn't hear it until you said it, and now I can't get it out of my head.
And then the black cap is one. I love black caps. They have a very fluty song. And it starts off kind of hesitant, and then suddenly they burst into it. I was reading this brilliant writer I would recommend to everyone, Anthony McGeehan, has written a couple of fantastic books on Irish birds. And he describes the start of a Black Cap song. He said, it's like a sprinter rising out of the blocks. They sort of come out kind of slow and hesitant, and then the acceleration is palpable. And it was the other thing he said, they never sing in short sentences. It's explode. Again, there's some great writing on this stuff. But yeah, the Black Cap, very fluty. And talking of climate change, it is interesting that Black Caps are a bird we would only ever used to see in the summer in Ireland, and then again through surveys like the Garden Bird Survey by Birdwatch Ireland, people noticing them more and more and more in the winter over the last 15 years. And it turns out that our Irish blackcaps are still going back to the south of Spain, North Africa, like they always did. Mm-hmm. But German blackcaps have started spending the winter, not all of them, but some of them have started spending the winter in Ireland. Presumably it was too cold in the past, they couldn't survive the winter. Now that the winters are a bit milder, a small subsection are chancing their arm in Ireland if they survive.
Climate is playing a big part in
absolutely,
all of this
change. And literally it's affecting the distribution of birds we're seeing in our own back gardens.
Okay, so we heard there from, amongst others, the European robin and the Eurasian blackcap. You're going to hear from them again, as well as the common raven and the European goldfinch in this clip. So, Jamie, there's the sing-songy one, and then there's the click, click, click.
Yeah, so the sing-songy one, again, is the black cap. Very fluty, kind of quite excitable, kind of fast pace. And then the little ticks, that's showing you nicely the difference between songs and calls. So the song is it's the way of the male. He's advertising to females. He's also threatening other males. We could talk about this all afternoon. Bird song is fascinating. It's literally the way the birds fight. It's a way of them facing each other down. And then the clicks, that would be the alarm call. So that's okay. The bird's way of saying, he's telling everyone else in the area, and maybe if he has a nest nearby, he's saying, head down, and it's also a way of telling a predator, if it's a cat or something, it's their way of saying to the cat, listen mate, we've seen you, so there's no point even trying to sneak up, because we know you're here.
So it's not just about alerting other birds, it's about actually telling said predator, don't even bother trying.
If one you would probably recognise, you maybe didn't realise it's them, like, you know, when you get the blackbird, you get that, and then as they do that, they will be trying to draw you away, they're trying to pull you away from the nest, they're making themselves obvious, but again, it's a way of saying, I've seen you, no point keeping going now.
Okay, we'll play another one here, and there's quite a few birds in this, so maybe I'll play a little bit of it, and then Jamie, you can describe who we are hearing in all of this. More peaceful sounding.
Yeah, so that one is the wren, which I would argue is pound for pound the best singer in Ireland.
That's Eurasian wren.
Yeah. Mm. Whenever you occasionally get these things where they ask the members of the public to vote for the best singer, and it always comes out as Robin, and it's just a popularity contest. Robins are rubbish singers, I'm sorry. Blackbirds are amazing singers. Robin, it's because everyone knows they're Robin in their garden, and it's, yeah, anyway. But with the wren, and again, if you're trying to learn your bird song, it can be quite difficult. You buy the CD, you listen to it, you think you've got it, and then as soon as you hear a bird, it all goes out of your head. So what I try and do is try and learn just one thing that tells you it's that bird and nothing else. So in the case of the wren, it's very circular, it's very whirry, and there's a kind of sound that they do that no other bird does. So it's one of these things that once you get that sound in your head, if you hear it, you know you've got a wren. Not the smallest bird in Europe, lots of people think it is. The goldcrest is actually slightly smaller. Okay. But if you ever see a wren singing, I would urge people to, if you hear one, you hear this, it's worth trying to work out where it is, because if you see them singing, you will not believe the volume. They weigh like less than a 20-cent coin, and yet the volume that they can pump out is actually quite incredible. They're amazing little birds.
Okay, powerful for such a small bird. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to play our final clip, which includes the Eurasian wren, carrion crow, common magpie, dunnock and hooded crow.
Thank you.
to me because this actually shows the limitations of the automated ID for me. Because
so, I mean, presumably we're hearing the crow there because I hear it a lot crow, in my backyard.
So that will be the hooded crow. Okay. The carrion crow is the one that you find in England and the south of Scotland. There are carrion crows starting to come across. Now, the science seems to change every time I look at it, that whether carrion crows and hooded crows are subspecies. I think they've been split into full species, that they're always they're splitting them and lumping them again. But certainly if it's out west, it's definitely not going to be a carrion crow. That will be the hooded crow. So that kind of shows how, and of course I would say this, that the AI can't do it all for us yet, but then I get paid to count birds, so I would say that. they're not ticking my job just yet.
Just before we finish, Jamie, we were mentioned there about climate change. How you've given us a sense of how it's affecting our birds and they're heading to different places because of change in climate, but how can birders help the efforts to monitor and track these changes?
Yeah, I'd say go to Birdwatch Island, just Google Birdwatch Island there, and there's a whole range of surveys. So the sort of entry level one would be the garden bird survey in the winter when, you know, people are literally, it's very simple to do. You go out and you note down the peak number in a week of any single bird you see in your garden. So that is giving Birdwatch Island a great idea of the kind of distribution of birds, and then, you know, and they know where you are, what time of year. There's one you can do if you're involved in schools or if you have young children, Spring Alive. That's where you're looking for the first swift, swallow and cuckoo of the year. That survey has definitely discovered that swallows are coming back 2 or 3 weeks earlier than they have been previously. So, I mean, climate change obviously affects absolutely everything. Just to give an example of the sort of subtle effects of it, I would never have thought of that you have blue tits, which it always makes me laugh when people say they don't want sparrowhawks in their garden because they eat baby blue tits. I point out that blue tits eat baby butterflies, but anyway. Blue tits want caterpillars. Caterpillars, certain butterflies will lay their eggs because they want the eggs to hatch just as the leaves are brand new. So when the leaves get too old, they're too tough to eat. These caterpillars then support blue tits support sparrowhawks. If the leaves are coming out 2 weeks earlier, the caterpillars are hatching the wrong time. There's no caterpillars, there's no blue tits, there's no sparrowhawks. So okay. If we get involved in the survey, monitor all these birds, then we can track all these problems and then hopefully convince the decision makers that they're serious problems that need acting upon.
Okay, well, look, that's how you can help the guys to do their work. My thanks to you, Jamie. Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime.
And taking us through that. Jamie Durrant there, who's a conservation ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And Ours to Protect was brought to you by Clare FM, the IBI, and funded by Cumasún na mBan with the television licence fee.